Welcome to Christ Church. We're glad that you're here to worship with us today. It's an exciting day. If you look, we've got a baptism today.
Yeah.
Adeline's going to be baptized, and she's going to bring her parents forward in a few minutes to celebrate in that. But I just want to call your attention to some of the announcements that are in the bulletin. On Saturday nights, at least through the summer, we'll see how it goes. We're doing the service of a bluegrass gospel service, and that's going quite well. It's also an easy way to invite people to come to church. Just have them come to one of the bluegrass services if they like that kind of music. Also, as you can see, other things that are coming up. The Adam Fest is something that we're as a church tied into pretty closely, and would love for you to help and volunteer for that. Other things are happening, and I want you to hear from a couple of folks. One is going to talk about the grand opening of the Family Life Center, and so I'd ask Dave Rapp if he'll come forward.
Good morning. I would like to draw your attention to two items in the bulletin regarding the Family Life Center. First, I am very excited to tell you that we are planning a grand opening of the Family Life Center on Sunday, September 8th. This will be an all-day event with a combined worship service in the morning, an open house in the afternoon, and a party in the evening. The community will be invited, and you will want to invite all of your friends. Mark this date on your calendar. You don't want to miss this key milestone in the history of our church and the community. In addition, we are looking ahead to initial use of the Life Center. There are furnishings needed to make it useful that are not included in the cost of building construction. There is an insert in your bulletin titled, "It's Time to Furnish." These are items that are needed before we begin using the building, and some are needed for the grand opening. We are asking that you prayerfully consider making a contribution towards purchase of these items. In summary, the grand opening is September 8th, and contributions are needed for furnishings. These are opportunities for us as a church to fulfill God's plan with our prayers, presence, gifts, and service as we share the love of Christ with our community.
Okay, we're gonna try to figure out that hum. If we may just go unplugged if we need to. At least hum and tune. You're off. Yeah. That was the good news. How many of you remember how many times it snowed last? Can you imagine what that did to the church's budget, or did you even think about it? Well, we've had some extra expenses, and it is time to hear from someone from our finance committee. So even though we may not want to hear what he has to say, I'd like you to welcome Larry Ellison.
Good morning. On behalf of the Finance Committee, we want to share a few words with you regarding some concerns that we have about our church budget. As you know from reading the most recent Courier article, our giving level has decreased from the same time last year. In fact, it has decreased about 10%, resulting in a significant budget deficit. We do wish to point out the simple truth that if our giving this year matched what we had given last year at the same time, there would in fact be no budget deficit at all, that it would simply be gone. There are likely a number of reasons for this decrease. Probably the most obvious would be the very brutal winter season that Reverend Roger just mentioned that we all went through recently, as well as ongoing construction issues both here at church and out there on 7th Street. No doubt these issues have contributed to a decrease in our attendance by about 5% from the same period last year, which of course would have a direct impact on our giving levels. That being said, we can surely thank God that based on an analysis of our giving patterns, the Finance Committee has found no hard evidence that our contributions to the Family Life Center have contributed in any significant way to this budget deficit. Our church is clearly entering a period of many challenges, but also of great excitement from this point forward with the opening of the Family Life Center and the potential for the expanding ministries which it makes possible. We do not feel that the situation with our current finances represents a crisis, but it is clearly a cause for concern which requires our awareness and ongoing prayers that God will work his will through each of us. We wanted to share this message both to inform you and to maintain the greatest possible degree of transparency by our committee. We call for prayers as we go through these very exciting yet very challenging times as we continue in our best efforts to make Christ famous in the Quad Cities and throughout the world. I thank you for your kind attention.
Well, good morning. We come together in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Would you guys stand in his name this morning? Would you give him a round of applause? He is our guest of honor today and forever. Come on, the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let me hear a hallelujah. Come on, let's hear hallelujah. Scream it out. Great Heavenly Father God, we come to bless your name, O Lord. This morning, would you turn all of our hearts, our minds, our souls to you, O Lord. We thank you that you are the guest of honor today and always, be enthroned on our hearts. Lord, be made known, not only in this church, not only in this city, but the whole world. In the awesome, in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people say,
amen.
With every voice lifted, remind your neighbor you have freedom this morning. Tell them you have freedom. You have freedom. In fact, I want you to sing louder than us. You are God's choir. Amen. You are the choir of God lifted high. He is the audience that we sing to. He is the focus of our praise and adoration. So with every voice lifted, every heart aimed to the Lord, let's sing it out. Let's sing out this chorus. Here we go.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on, church.
Oh, my
lifted high.
Worship his holy name.
Like never before, come on.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your.
We're gonna sing that chorus again, louder than ever. Come on, here we go.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name.
Come on now.
Sing like never before. The sun comes up.
It's a new.
Come on, choir of God, lift it high.
It's time to
sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
His holy name, the name above all,
sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your
name. Now we're going to sing right to the Lord this morning, right to him, right to his face. We can tell him, Lord, you're rich in love. Here we go.
Well, you're rich in love
and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
We're gonna bless the name of the Lord this morning. Sing it out, church.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on down.
King King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Worthy, Lord, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Sing for all that you've done for me.
Sing it one more time. I'm gonna sing it out to the amazing Lord. This is amazing grace. Use your voices, come on.
This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hey, would you tell your neighbor about his amazing grace? Share his love this morning. Welcome someone here in the awesome name of Jesus.
I brought some books today. I need three volunteers. Parker and Annabelle, Sophie, sorry, and Annabelle, wonderful. Okay, so let me tell you, there's this couple in the Bible that we really have to learn about. Her name is Abigail and his name is Nabal. And we're talking about one of them is very foolish and one of them is beautiful and intelligent. I won't say which one, but I will tell you the guy's name is Nabal, and you know what Nabal means? Fool. Oh, thanks, Mom and Dad, on that one, huh? Got a leg up, huh? Yeah. So this is part of his life. And what happens is he's not treating people real well, and this is the time of David. And his wife, Abigail, steps in to save the day. And without her persistence, they probably would have all been killed. So that we can learn from their mistakes, I thought that we needed to gain some knowledge. And so I just want you to, because I think books give you so much knowledge and they help you learn so much. And here's for you. And so I'm going to give you probably about a minute to read that. And then you tell me, okay? You tell me what's in the book so that we can all learn what you're learning, okay? You got to speed read, you go through and it's not working. Well, what happens if you don't read all the books you can in the whole wide world? You won't know everything, right? This isn't working. Okay, so put that book down. I think I had the wrong book for you. Try this one, okay? Oh, what is this book called? The Holy Bible. Okay, so you've got about a minute to speed read that and let me know how it goes, okay? Because I'm pretty sure when you just read the Bible, you just know everything, right? No? Huh. So what happens when you read the Bible? Do you have to do what it says? No? When you read, let me ask this again. When you read the Bible, is it best to do what God says? Yes, you're right. And so by reading the Bible, we gain a lot of knowledge. But what we really want to do is be wise, don't we, Annabelle? Nabal was not wise. Abigail was very wise. And so how do we have that wisdom? How do we get wisdom? How do you know what's right and wrong, what to do in life? Look up to your parents. Excellent. That is right. But you know what? I don't know about you, but when I mess up, somebody said, hey, you messed up. You better wise up. Maybe you better read the Bible. Sometimes it's when we mess up that then we look to our leaders in our life, to our pastors, to our moms and dads and grandmas and teachers to give us the wisdom so that we can lead a beautiful life, that we can do what God says is good and right and true. So I'm telling you, you got to read the Bible because there's a ton of people that messed up, a ton of people that God worked through and said, you know what, even though you've messed up, I still love you, but you've got to continue to try. And that's the story of Nabal and Abigail. And Pastor Roger's going to tell a little bit more of that, just a little primer, okay? So let's have a word of prayer, and then we are going to take off. Gracious God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity for Bibles within our midst, within our hands, to give us wisdom, not only knowledge, but the wisdom to take that within our own lives to learn and grow and love you in a deeper manner. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
The name of Jesus.
Sing it with us this morning. Say,
the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
See that first one.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ.
Will you stand with us to sing this out?
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. Jesus, you brought heaven down. was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Great Holy Spirit, whose breath gives life to the world, and whose voice is heard in the soft breeze. We need your strength and wisdom. Cause us to walk in beauty. Give us eyes ever to behold the red and purple sunset. Make us wise so that we may understand what you have taught us. Help us to learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. Make us always ready to come to you, clean hands and steady eyes, so when life fades like the fading sunset, our spirits may come to you without shame. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you, for this opportunity to come together as a unique body of Christ. Never again will this same group be together. So as we unite the different paths that we walk into this one service, where we lift your name on high, and we recognize your Holy Spirit to be among us, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in our lives, for the lives of others whom we are praying for. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you hear these names of those whom we are praying for as we say them now. Lord, hear these prayers that are spoken and the ones that are unspoken. And now, Lord, hear us. Hear us as we pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. And now we have an opportunity to recognize our graduates. We recognized several graduates last week. And then sometime during the week, we realized that the UT grads were not only graduating last Saturday, but they decided to have an all-night gathering party. And we just knew that they wouldn't be here for Sunday morning for some reason. So we decided to hold that up. And unfortunately, several of the graduates had something else on. But if you graduated from UT, would you please come forward now? And Chase, I think you are the only one. High five, buddy. Chase, we got a gift for you here, and I'd like to have a prayer with you. But would you be willing to tell these folks what you're going to be doing next year?
I'm going to be starting an apprenticeship to be an electrician.
All right. Great. Anything else you want to say?
No.
That's kind of intimidating being up here all by yourself, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to go sit down. I'm just going to let you preach, okay? No, Jason, we'd like you to come up, and we're going to have a prayer for you. It's been an honor to watch you grow up, to become the man that you've become. And we're all in your corner. We're all pulling for you. And we'll be calling you for our electrical needs later on. Lord God, I thank you for this young man and what he represents to his family and to his church and how he has developed and grown. Lord, I ask that his path continue to be with you, that he will draw closer to you, that your Holy Spirit will empower him to be the man of God that you are calling him to be. We thank you for this milestone in his life and as well as the other graduates who represent our church, and ask that you will be with all of them as they move forward from this point. In Jesus' name I pray. Now we get to do one of the favorite things in ministry for me, and that is the sacrament of baptism. And Adeline is gonna come forward, and she's gonna bring her family. Justin and Kat are bringing Adeline forward. Hi, guys. You've been up here before, haven't you?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Justin and Kat, I ask you these questions. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Adeline in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? This is not just something that the family is committing to. You are committing, and you are a representative of the church worldwide. No matter where this family goes, they will be able to find a church home. And in that church home, they'll find people like you, unlikely heroes that can be for this family what we plan to be in the future years. And so I have a question for you as well. Will you nurture one another in the faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? If so, say we will. Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and the one who's to receive it, to wash away sin and to clothe them in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Sweetie, would you come to me? Huh? Hi there. Hi there, sweetie. Hi there. Look here. Adeline Grace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You didn't like that, huh? Yeah. Adeline, I'd like to introduce you to your new family. It's a family that is represented worldwide. Wherever you go, there will be family members. They're all disciples of Jesus Christ, and they've come to support you today. And as you grow, you're going to want to go back to mom, aren't you? Well, okay, I'll hurry, okay? As you grow, they are going to be with you. And I would like them to get a closer look at you, but, you know, I think I'm going to let mom do that. And as Adeline goes down to for you to get a better look at her, we're going to sing you a song, Adeline. Is that okay? All right. Let's go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Just for a minute. Nope, not gonna happen. Okay. Hey guys, would you do me a favor and just put your hands gently on your sister? And also Justin, there we go. Oh, okay, well, maybe a leg there. There we go. Yeah, okay. The Holy Spirit work within you that being powered through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you, sweetie. Can I give you a kiss? Thank you for letting me do that. Let's welcome the newest baptized person of Christ Church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forever. Amen. We have for Adeline, and you guys probably have a candle like this. And this is the baptism candle. You can celebrate today by lighting it for Adeline. And then every June 9th, you can light it again throughout your life. And this to remind you of this special day. It'll be a way that your mom and dad can teach you about your baptism. We also have this blanket, baby blanket for you that has been carefully made and also prayed for you. And the baptism certificate as well. So God bless you all. Once again, let's celebrate. Right now, we have an opportunity to give back to God some of what he has given to us, and we do that as an act of worship. And so, as we prepare for this act of worship, of giving our tithes and offerings, let's pray for this offering. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you for all that you have given us. And we know that everything that we have comes from you. And so we now turn back to you our tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name I pray.
To Jesus, sing it out now.
My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing. other name, Jesus.
One more time. Every voice Jesus, in behind my heart
will sing. No other name, Jesus, Jesus. To your arms, the riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever.
Don't you just love that picture of unlikely heroes? Those are some of the unlikely heroes of Christ Church, and they were willing to pose for the different bulletin front covers that we're running in this series of unlikely heroes, and learning how we can all, even people as ordinary as us, be unlikely heroes. And one thing we're doing is we're going through and looking at different people in the Bible. Some of them you probably have never heard of. This is one today, and her name is Abigail. If you've never heard this story, don't feel bad, because it's one that is sort of under the radar in terms of Bible stories. But we're entitling this Beyond Foolishness. And before we set this up, you need to know that it is in a story, a flowing story of David before he became king. And David was anointed by the prophet Samuel, and he was appointed by God to become the next king. Well, that didn't sit well with the current king, who was Saul. Saul was jealous of David. Saul sought to kill David many times, and many times David proved that he wasn't going to do anything to Saul, that he would not lift his hand against the anointed one of God, the king. And so they just got through with an altercation where David tries to convince Saul that, I'm not going to try to kill you. I could, and I've just demonstrated I could. I'm not going to do that. And Saul, at least for the time being, eases up on David. Now, David is out in a stronghold in the wilderness with about 600 men. And they move down to a place close to where Nabal and Abigail live. And that's where we start this thing. So imagine about 600 soldiers move into your neighborhood. Okay? It's in the wilderness, but that's where the story starts. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let's pray. Lord God, speak to us through your holy word, and I ask that your witness to the word will be a faithful one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, you might want to turn to 1 Samuel 25 in the Bibles that are in your pews. Incidentally, if you do not have a Bible at home but would like one, you are welcome to the one that's in the pews there. If you look on the inside the front cover, you'll see it's actually got a statement in there about being a gift from Christ Church. And we do that. We give away Bibles so that people will have Bibles at home to read. So please feel free to take one if you would like. But in that passage of Scripture there, or in that chapter, we learn about the story, the interaction between David and Nabal and Abigail. And it's an interesting story because David is there in the area, and basically he's been protecting Nabal and his family and his servants and the shepherds and all that are taking care of the flocks and making sure that nobody steals any of the animals. And it's a kind of a far away, but we appreciate you. We're trying to be good neighbors here. And then as we learn in the text here, there comes this time, it's a festive time. It's the shearing of the sheep. And Nabal's out doing that with his servants. And if you look down in verse 5, David tells 10 young men, he says, "Go to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name and say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours.'" Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. "When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them." So he's not asking for much. He's just, whatever you can spare, we sure could use it. Now, this is a hospitality thing, which is huge, huge, and still is over there. They have in the Israel and in that area around there, they have what's called Bedouins or nomads, and they live in tents and they take care of flocks. And Ernie and Debbie, did you run across any Bedouins when you were there? Interesting thing about the Bedouins: if you were to walk into their camp, they would feed you, they would house you, they would host you, they would take care of you. And then if you were still with them on the third day, it takes them 3 days, they would finally say, "So why are you here?" That's just, they're showing hospitality to strangers. And so what David was asking was certainly not out of line. But when David's men arrived at Nabal, remember, this is a surly, mean guy. He says this to the servants after they ask. They say, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse?" David's father. Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. He says, this is a slam against him and Saul, what's happening between them. "Why should I take my bread and water and meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" This is like huge insult stuff here. And so David's men turned around and went back. And when they arrived, they reported every word to David. Okay? Now this is where David goes a little western. He gets western. Do you know what I mean? Somebody goes western. Huh? Anybody seen any western movies? Something goes wrong, and the leader says, "Saddle up, boys. Get your guns." So David says, "Is that right?" He looks at 400 men and he says, "Saddle up, boys, get your guns." Well, no, he didn't really say that. But he said to them, "Each of you strap on your sword." And look at this. So they did, and David strapped his on as well. He's going to lead the charge. Later on, we see that David says, may the Lord deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." Now, what Nabal has done is he triggered something in David where David was going to just wipe him out. It's interesting, we find out later in the text that the word Nabal means fool. How'd you like to be named fool? Bless your mom and dad for that, you know. Nabal means fool, and he lives up to it. He does a very foolish thing that's going to cost him his life and the life of all of his loved ones, his family, and his servants. You know, the Bible is pretty clear about what a fool is. And see if this sounds like Nabal. This is from some statements from Proverbs. Proverbs 10:14. The mouth of a fool brings ruin near. That's definitely true here. 10:18 says, whoever utters slander is a fool. Do you see what he's doing with David? Who is David and who's the son of Jesse? Saying, why should I honor somebody who breaks away from his master? He knew about the situation between Saul and David, and he was slamming David. 10:23, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. I'm sure he just was laughing, thinking, oh, this is really funny. 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Now remember this, the way of a fool is right in his own life, but a wise man listens to advice, because that comes later in the story. Proverbs 13:16 says, a fool flaunts his folly. In other words, a foolish person is proud of his own action, his own wrong actions. Proverbs 14:16 says that a fool is reckless and careless. Obviously he is. And I love this one. You know, the Bible gets kind of graphic at times. Yeah, it's the way it is. 16:11, Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his vomit. Ooh. As a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. And time and time again, Nabal was repeating his folly. How many of you have ever heard the statement or the saying, you can't fix stupid? Okay, Nabal is right there. You can't fix stupid. He's you know, what he's doing is going to annihilate not just him, but everyone. And this is the Nabal moment, the original one. But to be truthful, we've all had Nabal moments. I've had Nabal moments. You've had, don't leave me hanging here. You all have had Nabal moments, haven't you? Where you said something you know you never should have said. Somebody ticked you off and you fired right back at them, whatever it might be. Maybe you decided to give somebody a piece of your mind that you could ill afford to lose, whatever it is. Those are Nabal moments in our lives. They always get us in trouble, right? I want to share you a Nabal moment I had, and it was a doozy, let me tell you. See, as pastors within the United Methodist Church, we have district superintendents. They're our bosses. And they can make our lives pretty miserable. At times, especially when we mess up or are not doing what we're supposed to do. And we had a superintendent at a previous church, and he was in his first year, relatively new. A good man, excellent man. And he and I worked out a potential ministry with a third church, but it was close to another church. And I said, now, please talk to this pastor in the other church. Make sure this is okay, that everybody is in favor of this ministry, of this joint ministry. And he said, sure, I'll do that. And so like a couple months later, I was talking to this pastor, as we were already started with this new ministry, and that was at a church near his. And he said, what are you talking about? And I thought, oh no, the DS had not talked with him. And I had tried to explain to him, and it made me look foolish. It made him upset. You know, we did not leave at the in a very good way. And so as I was driving home, I just was mad. I was so mad at our DS. I had an Nabal moment. And that is that I called him up And I started verbally chewing him out about what, you know, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? Explain the whole situation, pretty much just shouting to him over the phone. And then it dawned on me, Roger, you're chewing out your boss. That's not smart. This guy can stomp your head. What are you doing? And so I paused. And I knew that he was going to just ream me out. There was a long pause. And I was just sort of bracing myself, getting ready for it, because I was just out of line. I was like major out of line. And I'll never forget it. He said, "Well, Roger, what would you like me to do to make this situation better?" There was no heat in the statement. It was done in a very quiet way. And you know how God works in your life? It just so happened I was studying Proverbs at the time, and immediately in my mind came Proverbs 15:1 that says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath." Oh. You know, I learned an important lesson that day. Haven't always followed it, but I learned an important lesson that day. That we can move beyond foolishness. And it doesn't matter what other people are saying. We can move on beyond foolishness. Now, what Abigail did and how she became the heroine of the story and the unlikely hero is that she gets word from a servant what is about to happen. He basically says, "You know what that husband of yours did? You know what David's going to do? We're all dead meat." You know, that's not a correct translation, but it's close, okay? And what I love, it says that Abigail acted quickly. And she gets some servants to get a bunch of food and sends it on mules. Says, "Go out and meet these guys. Come meet David and his 400 men, and I'll be right there." And so she's coming. Now you can imagine David and his men coming hooping and hollering, and they're coming down the hill, and there's this food set out and on the servants had, and here comes Abigail. And she doesn't come with any pride at all. She comes in humbleness, and she bows down, prostrates herself before David. And she basically says, excuse what's happened to you. Pardon me for allowing this to happen. You know, wasn't it her fault at all, but here she was doing what she can. She came into the middle of a fool on one side and a man of integrity on the other side who was about to make a big mistake. And she basically tells David, you're going to be king. You're the Lord's anointed. Don't do this thing that you will regret. He gave, and David, not being the fool, listened to advice and was so impressed with Abigail that he stopped the whole thing. Said, "Okay. Now, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but it's kind of cool. You'll want to read it. What happens to Abigail? You'll want to read what happens to her, what happens to Nabal. But the reality is, how can we be unlikely heroes in our foolishness and frailness? How can we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because today is Pentecost. Woohoo! This is the birth of the church. And if you don't know about Pentecost, we're running out of time, but read Acts 2. Acts what? 2. Read that, and you'll learn about the birth of the church. And it's when the followers of Jesus received the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, they received the power where Jesus said, you will receive power from on high. That's when it happens. And they begin speaking in other dialects, other languages of people all around the world. Anybody from the South? Grew up in the South here? Angie, when you got up here, you probably thought, we talk funny up here, don't you? Yeah. And because you were used to the dialect of your area, and everybody has a different dialect. And that's what's really cool, is in the Greek it says that all these disciples who had received the Holy Spirit were speaking in other dialectos, or dialects, and people were hearing not only their language, but it was like someone from their hometown talking to them, talking about praising God. Now, if you look at it, we receive power, and we receive power to implement His plan. What's His plan? Well, if you look at the inside of your bulletin, right underneath where it says Christ Church, we have what we constantly bring up, and that's the question. Christ Church, what has Jesus called you to do? So that we seek to bring them together, to love God and people so much that we seek to bring them together. That's our call. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out His plan. Amen? Amen. So you have an opportunity to leave here being unlikely heroes, because you don't know whose life you're going to change. That's why your crazy pastor for the last 9 years, now going on 10, have given you the same challenge that you know by heart by now. Go and share what? Your faith. That's right. And I'll do it again. I'll do it again as we end this service. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that you do empower us to move beyond our own foolishness and frailness, and that we can become truly unlikely heroes for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
When you feel afraid, you're not the only. We're all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Whoa. We stumble and fall, and He so loved the world, He sent His Son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. Torn apart, blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart, blessed are the people hungry for another star, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people
I'm going to say it. You know what I'm going to say. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Go and share your faith with someone who needs love, forgiveness, or hope. Point them toward God. Let him save them as he is saving you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the people of God shouted,
Amen. Amen.